Welcome to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast from CBS Sports.
1-1 pitch. Fastball pulled and passed. Alvarez it toward the corner.
Got a fantasy question? Email fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Get ready to win your league.
Where fantasy becomes reality.
Now, here's Adam, Scott, Heath, and Chris.
We got big news. We got a starting third baseman in Pittsburgh that we might be pretty excited about in fantasy. The dude's got some pop. Welcome, everybody. This is Fantasy Baseball Today. It is Tuesday, 2 days to fill out your brackets in our bracket challenge and hopefully get into the podcast league. I'm Adam Azer. Say hello to Chris Towers. What's up?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I'm a little disappointed that Heath didn't take off his blue hoodie, because now we look kind of like we're matching.
Yes.
I just think, like, seniority, I should be the one who gets to keep the jacket on.
You have been at CBS longer,
yeah.
And you are the boss.
And I'm middle-aged.
I've been on Earth longer.
Yeah.
That's not how it works.
So I think I have seniority.
You actually stole. You stole what I was going to say, because it is pretty hilarious that Team Creeth is matching right now. And Scott, hello, Scott, how are you?
Good. I have my own shade of blue, but I don't look like I tried to do it.
It's really cute, guys. Okay, so today, overdrafted and underdrafted players. We're getting a lot of questions about late round picks. Who are our favorite late round picks? Well, we'll tell you some of our favorite late round picks. We'll read some emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com, including a couple of questions about head-to-head categories leagues. And five big questions. We did it yesterday. It was a smashing success. Everybody loved it. So we'll do five big questions again today. Let's start with news and notes. Not a ton, but Jung-Ho Kang is going to be Pittsburgh's starting third baseman. Eric Gonzalez will be Pittsburgh's shortstop. Heath, talk to me about the left side of the Pittsburgh infield.
Well, we're not going to talk about Eric Gonzalez because he is a terrible hitter and is only getting to start at shortstop because of his ability to play defense. And they need somebody that's good at defense over there because Jung-Ho Kang's really not. But what Kang has been is pretty exciting when he's been an everyday player. He's got a .274 average. He's got an .837 OPS, hit 36 home runs in just about 230 major league games. So I do think this is a guy who, if, and it's a question mark because it's been over a year now, but if he can get back to that level, he could be a guy that's looking like a very good option as a starting corner infielder and could push to be a starting third baseman in fantasy.
Yeah, I took a look at him in our 12-team roto league that starts quarter infielders. He was drafted, I had forgotten, so he was not available, but just looking at 2016, if he had played 155 games, he would have been the number 14 third baseman in points leagues, which would have been that fantasy point total would have made him number 13 in 2018. So based on that production, it's mostly home runs. Scott, for Kang, it's probably not a one third baseman type of league, right? And that's kind of what Heath was saying. Still more like those deeper roto leagues.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, especially now. I mean, if he gets back to that level, like Heath was saying, and there's no evidence he is. I mean, his spring, he had five home runs. They were his only five hits. He struck out in like half his at-bats and hasn't played. It's been, I mean, he got a little time at the end of last season, but for the most part, it's been two full years since he played. He's 32 now. Deeper leagues. He's a sleeper for deeper leagues.
All right, Clayton Kershaw is going to begin the season on the injured list. So, Chris, which starting pitchers are you drafting? Let's talk about all the draftable starting pitchers for the Dodgers in order. Okay, Walker Buehler 1, Clayton Kershaw 2, then what?
It looks like you don't read CBSSports.com's fantasy baseball coverage, Adam, because I actually wrote about this very topic yesterday, and I'm a little wary of sharing this on the podcast because we still have drafts to go, but something that Heath and I were talking about yesterday, and I realized it's a pretty good idea, is you can actually just draft every Dodgers pitcher. And last year they had a starting pitcher ERA of 3.18. I was looking at ATC projections from Ariel Cohen. He has them projected for 3.44 ERA collectively, the seven guys. Clayton Kershaw, Walker Buehler, Kenta Maeda, Rich Hill, Ross Stripling, Julio Urias, and Hyunjin Ryu. And what I realized is you can draft Buehler in like late third, early fourth, Kershaw in the fifth, take nothing but really good hitters and closers for your next six picks. And then it's like in a five round succession, you could just reach a round or two early and get all the other guys. And all of a sudden you've got the whole starting pitching staff who are going to put up, I think across the board, very good ratios. And you're minimizing the risk of Kershaw or Buehler or any one of them, because they all have risks individually. But you've got two backup starting pitchers at all times. When Kershaw doesn't make his first start or he goes on the DL in June, you've got the guy who's going to step in and be really good in his replacement. I think this is a really good idea, and I really want to try it in one of our remaining mock drafts.
That is fun. I like that. Now, that's a great article to read on CBSSports.com, but there's a better one.
Exactly.
And it's by Heath Cummings. And it's about his draft strategies. My perfect draft strategy for points, rotisserie, and head-to-head categories. Heath, outstanding work. Outstanding.
Thank you,
work.
Adam. I appreciate that. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's good stuff. And maybe something we'll talk about later in the week. Ichiro is going to be in the lineup when they play in Japan, which is just a reminder that we've got baseball coming up on March 20th and March 21st, 5:35 in the morning on March 20th and again on March 21st. So we'll be, excited for that.
That's tomorrow, right?
That's tomorrow. Yeah. The Yankees signed Gio Gonzalez.
Are we going to try to wake up?
I'll be up for some of it.
I'll be up by the fourth inning anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, come on, wake up. Wake up, Chris.
I might try. God, my wife would be so mad if my alarm started going off at 5:30 in the morning. Like, we might get divorced if I did that two nights in a row.
Okay, especially if it was to watch A's Mariners. Scott, Gio Gonzalez to the Yankees on a minor league deal. What does it mean?
I don't think it impacts, like, Domingo Germán's the one we're most excited about, right? It doesn't look like Jonathan Loaisiga is going to have a spot at the start, and Luis Sessa, I think we've seen enough of him despite his pretty good spring showing here. So it's mostly Germán who we're thinking we don't want it to impact. And I mean, Gio Gonzalez is going to have to build up his innings. It's a minor league deal, so obviously that's where he's going to go to begin the season. He has an opt out on April 20th if he's not in the majors by then. And I think there's a good chance he isn't if the Yankees are getting good production from the starters already there. I mean, the reason he had to settle for a minor league deal is it doesn't look like Gio Gonzalez is a very good starting pitcher anymore. Had a 144 whip last year with a BABIP right around 300. And his velocity's been down the last couple years, not missing bats like he used to.
Okay, great. So, doesn't mean much. Dustin Pedroia. Oh, by the way, another Yankees note. Dallin Betances is really struggling there. Seems to be a bit concerned about him. He's just behind, because he got started late in spring training. He's throwing like 91 miles per hour. So I know people are drafting Dellin Betances. Be aware, he's having a really kind of concerning spring. Dustin Pedroia is going to start the season on IL. Eduardo Nunez and Brock Holt will apparently platoon at second base, which is annoying because I would love to see Eduardo Nunez win that job. But are any of those second base options, Pedroia, Nunez, or Brock Holt, worth drafting right now?
AL only.
On a standard mixed league, no.
Okay. Byron Buxton's having a big spring. Is anybody buying in?
I think it's worth moving him up. We've never seen him have a spring like this, so that's nice. But also, he's only struck out four times in 33 plate appearances. It's not just all home runs. It's not just all BABIP. He is hitting the ball really well. He's a 1450 OPS in 33 plate appearances. Now, 33 plate appearances. Yes, Byron Buxton has had 33 good plate appearances before. But given that we were kind of writing him off entirely coming into the spring, it serves as a reason to draft him, I think.
My problem is, and I've been more than willing to draft him the entire time. I think he's been in my top 200 since before spring training started. I've got him. I can't keep up. Like, the hype on Byron Buxton from everyone else is so late. Every time I get ready to move him up 20 spots, everybody else has already moved him up 30 spots. So I've got him right around pick 170 now. I could see taking him in the first 13 or 14 rounds. I can't imagine I'm ever going to get him.
Well, his ADP over the last week on NFBC is 150th. He has gone as high as 64th.
Yeah.
So
who would you rather take, Byron Buxton or Billy Hamilton?
Depends how badly. If I desperately need steals, Billy Hamilton. If I'm just looking for a player with upside, it's Byron Buxton.
Okay, who would you rather take, Byron Buxton or Brandon Nimmo?
Probably Nimmo.
Yeah, I'll take Nimmo.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I'd rather take Domingo Santana.
Yeah, are we sure Domingo Santana is an everyday player?
No.
I'm not.
I'm not sure he's good.
Yeah.
Because they have a bit of a logjam.
Look, it looks like Jay Bruce is going to play a lot. He was batting third when it looked like they were running their regular lineup out there in their most recent exhibition game in Japan. And that's without Daniel Vogelbach because they were putting Ichiro in the lineup. So, I mean, I don't know that Vogelbach's going to play that much. I would guess he would play the least of the three, Bruce and Domingo Santana. But seeing as Santana is the one right-handed hitter of the bunch, I could see how he could get squeezed.
Yeah, and Malik Smith not playing in these games in Japan either. Okay, just a couple other.
But you can have Daniel Vogelbach, Jay Bruce, and Domingo Santana all in the lineup, right?
No.
Yeah. No. Yes. While Seager is out. Yeah, you have Vogelbach at DH, Haniger in center, Santana in left, Bruce in right.
He's playing first.
Edwin Encarnacion or Vogelbach at
first.
He's
just going to play first all the time.
Well, then Vogelbach will play first, and Encarnacion will DH.
Well, right now they've been putting Bruce at Bruce at first base. But okay. Well, yeah, Malik Smith comes back.
Yeah, that's the question. Somebody? Is Malik Smith going to be out for the next 10 days?
No,
that's it.
He's going to be ready.
Is this going to linger?
He's supposed to be ready for opening day. I mean, that's at least what I thought. The real opening day.
That's where, yeah, he's the one that I don't think has concerns about playing time.
No.
So then it's.
I assume it's Haniger, Malik Smith, and Domingo Santana in the outfield, Jay Bruce and Encarnacion at first and DH.
Okay, but then you have to
leave out Vogelbach, which is.
That's for now. But then when Seager gets back, Ryan Healy's going to be in the mix as well. Because right now
that'll
Healy's
work
playing
itself out.
All right. Forget it.
Yeah, Healy's not.
I don't think
no.
Ryan Healy's taking plate appearances away from Santana. Maybe
from Domingo Santana. I mean, come on, Domingo Santana got demoted last year.
It depends. If he's 2018 Domingo Santana, yeah, he got sent down. It wasn't.
They don't have Christian Yelich, Lorenzo Cain.
Right, but
Ryan
they have
Braun.
Better. They have players who can be better than 2018 Domingo Santana.
Sure.
All right, I'm done here. Injury. We're moving on from the Mariners. We'll see what their lineup looks like tomorrow at 5:30 in the morning. Alex Wood is going to start the year on the IL with a back issue. That means Tyler Mahle has a good chance to be in the opening day rotation for the Cincinnati Reds. Wood could be back in mid-April. And the Padres are still, according to Ken Rosenthal, interested in Trevor Bauer and Corey Kluber. So we'll keep an eye on that, but nothing appears imminent. Get in the bracket challenge. If you need the link, please email me, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. I will send you a link to our bracket challenge. If you're in first place at the end of this weekend, I know it's only two rounds. I'll pick one of the, it'll be a lot of ties. I'll pick somebody to be in the podcast league. If you're a football listener and you win the whole thing, then you will be in the football podcast league. So, let me know if you want in. Again, I'll email you and I'll tweet it all the time as well. The bracket challenge link. Sportsline.com. Sign up right now with the promo code Vegas. Get the optimal bracket. Get the upset bracket. Get great tournament picks. Get some fantasy advice. Awesome website. Sportsline.com. Promo code is Vegas. $1 for your first month. And make sure you're watching on CBS Sports HQ. It's one of our favorite weeks of the year. And you can follow it all live with CBS Sports HQ. It's a free 24-hour sports news network. We got the tournament highlights, the analysis, the picks, the bracketology, and live shows to help you with your office pools. CBS Sports HQ, it is always on. You can stream it live on all of your devices on the CBS Sports app. Let's do five big questions.
Question one, how do you pronounce tournament?
Tournament.
Do I say it weird? NCAA tournament.
How do you say
it? I say tournament.
Oh, that's fine. You wouldn't say, oh, no. Would it be a tourniquet or a tourniquet?
A tourniquet.
A tourniquet.
Heath makes me out to be like I'm a New York like deli owner. It's like, yo, you want some tourniquet? Like, he's ridiculous. But
hey, I'm walking here.
Exactly.
Usually I'm against Heath in questionable pronunciations, but tournament, That's how I've always said it.
I don't think there's one right. The English language is fluid, based on where regional dialects. So I think you're fine, Adam.
Yeah. Thank you.
You live your life.
And my wife and I were talking yesterday. Isn't it weird that F-R-O-G and D-O-G don't rhyme? Isn't that weird?
What?
Excuse me?
Frog. Say F-R-O-G, that animal.
Frog.
Say D-O-G.
Dog.
They don't rhyme.
Frog and dog definitely rhyme.
No,
frog
it's and frog dog. And what dog.
Are you,
they
what
don't
are you talking
say, no.
About?
It's frog and
like
dog. Like D-A-U-G is how everybody pronounces dog. You
frog
don't say
and dog.
100%
rhyme.
Different.
How do
they're
you say
different.
Dog?
Dog. Frog.
And how do you say frog?
Frog, dog. Frog, dog. You see? They're different.
Yeah,
frog.
You just say dog.
Frog.
Dog.
Frog.
No, I say it right.
Like I'm picking the frogs to win the tournament.
Oh, yeah. Scott used to say shield. That's right. Okay. Five big questions. Why don't frog and dog rhyme? And why not Malik Smith? Why shouldn't Malik Smith be the centerpiece of your steals strategy? He goes a lot later than Adalberto Mondesi.
I like
Jonathan,
it.
Jonathan, you said Jonathan VR?
No.
Malik Smith.
I said Malik Smith.
Malik Smith. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Malik.
The same reason you don't build your lineup around Luke Voit or your pitching staff around Nathan Eovaldi. He had one good half season ever in the majors. That's not to say I don't necessarily believe in it, but it's a single
season. Didn't Mondesi have one good half season?
Right, right. I'm not even talking like I've made my skepticism of Adalberto Mondesi pretty well known. But there hasn't been quite as much skepticism expressed about Malik Smith, and it's possible he goes back to being a 265 hitter and, you know, with his complete and utter lack of power, he might not be worth playing every day for the Mariners if he's a 265.
The one thing I will say in his defense is the skepticism is being expressed in his ADP. I think his ADP, just looking at Yahoo right now, is right around 150.
Oh, that's like, that's lower than Fantasy Pros. It's like
really 154.
112 on NFBC.
Yeah, 113 on Fantasy Pros for Malik Smith.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about Adalberto Mondesi is it's an ability to get a steel stud who, you know, also provides power, which Malik Smith doesn't. He may provide batting average like he did last year, but he needed a pretty high BABIP to hit for that mark.
I think it's just as likely that he hits 290 as Mondesi hits more than 22 home runs.
I mean, I would just say this. Mondesi's upside is higher, like the 90th or the 80th percentile, whatever you want to look at, is higher. I think there's also a higher chance that Adalberto Mondesi ends up in the minors at some point.
Okay, second big question. Which ace starting pitcher are you avoiding? And I don't mean like he's going to be a total bust, but you personally, you just don't want him. Scott, let's start with you.
Ace pitcher that I'm avoiding? I always hesitate to take Noah Syndergaard just because.
Oh, gee, why?
He's never really delivered an ace season. He had that 180 inning season that I guess, you know, it was close enough with his ratios that we could call him an ace. But otherwise, he hasn't done it. And the biggest predictor of an ace for me is, has he been an ace before? On a per star basis, absolutely. Noah Syndergaard has. He always is. But it's, you know, we're pretty deep into his career now, and he's never had that season where it all comes together.
I mean, he's thrown 190 and 180 innings in consecutive seasons.
It was more than one season than I thought.
He threw 150 in the majors, but combining the minors and the postseason, he ended up right around 190 that year.
Okay.
For me, it's been kind of, and I know we want to move quickly, so I won't dwell on it too long, but I think a lot of his, I wrote about this last week, I think a lot of his injuries have been kind of random. Like, he did have bone spurs in his elbow once, and then he had a lat injury, and then he had a finger injury. Like, those could be connected and indicative of some flaw in Noah Syndergaard's body or throwing style or mechanics, but it seems kind of like bad luck.
Okay, so who are you avoiding, Chris?
I don't think I've drafted Blake Snell yet. I don't know if it's as much about avoiding him as just I prefer Trevor Bauer, who's going a couple spots later. I prefer Garrett Cole, who's going right around the same spot. I'm just a little wary of Blake Snell coming off this kind of season.
Heath, who are you?
Too good last year. I stay away from Patrick Corbin, and I just don't know that I quite buy it. And it seems like in every draft I'm in, there's somebody that thinks he's part of the top 12, top 13. Walker Buehler would also fit in that category. In points leagues, I've got him quite a ways behind where the consensus seems to be on him.
Patrick Corbin's having an awful spring.
Oh, interesting. Big question number three. Who is Trevor Story? He is going 20th overall in Fantasy Pros ADP, which is basically exactly where Scott White has him in both points and roto. But Heath has him more like 30th overall. Heath, who is Trevor Story?
I think Trevor Story is a very good baseball player that plays in one of the best parks in baseball for a hitter. And we saw what his ceiling is last year. I'm just not sure he's quite going to deliver on that. I'd expect a few less home runs, maybe a few less steals. And there is still the concern for a guy that made that big of a jump in his strikeout rate that it doesn't stick. And if he goes back to being a 30% strikeout rate guy, he's going to be streaky and it's going to be frustrating.
Guys, is he worth a top 20 pick?
No.
I don't think it's baking in enough of the downside.
He is 3-for-3 in steals this spring. So that's encouraging to see. But yeah, I mean, it's going to depend a lot on if he can sustain that lower strikeout rate. It's rare to find the kind of five category trick contributor he was last year after the first round. And sometimes he makes it to the third.
Yeah. So Story stole 27 bases in 33 attempts last year in 157 games. That made him the number four shortstop in points, number two in roto. If he had only stolen 8 bases, which is what he did in 2016 and 17, basically, although in 2016 it was 8 steals in 97 games. He would have gone from the number four shortstop in points leagues to number five. And that's still really good because the top shortstops were excellent last year. So he still would have had a great year even if he hadn't been a base
I thought you were going to say something different, actually.
Yeah.
Would have fallen to ninth.
I mean, look, maybe he would have scored fewer runs as well. That's part of the, I couldn't do that calculation. But if you just.
Yeah, I think that would be minimal.
Yeah. Just take away the 38 points going from 27 steals to 8 steals, and he still would have been a top 5 shortstop and a really, really good hitter. So, I don't know. Maybe you draft Trevor Story and don't bank on him being your steals source. Like, if he gives you it, great. If not, I think you can get 15. Just don't bank on
I think
on
he's 30. An upside play. I don't think you're banking on it.
But he's not really an upside play in the second round.
He could be a first round athlete. But I just don't think you're looking at him the way you're looking at some other guys in that range and saying, I know exactly what I'm getting from Trevor Story. What you're doing there is you're thinking he can help me win my league or lose it. It's a high variance play. I think the same thing with that Alberto Mondesi a round or two later.
That was my next question. Who would you rather have, Story in, let's say, round two or three, or Mondesi in round three or four?
Story.
Wow.
I think there's basically 0% chance a healthy Trevor Story loses his job this year. I think there's maybe a 20 to 30% chance that happens to Alberto Mondesi.
I'll say Mondesi just because I don't want to spend a second round pick on Story.
Okay. Hey, Scott, would you rather have Mike Trout in the first round or a discounted Mondesi? This is a real question. Trout in the first round or Mondesi? Mondesi in the sixth round.
Oh, come on. Come on.
I'd rather have Trout. Okay. Yeah, I'd rather have Trout.
All right. He said something terrible about Mondesi. You all heard it. Next big question. Joey Votto, 52nd overall, or Jose Abreu, 74th overall?
I find myself a lot of times in this point in the draft at the end of the fourth round, and Votto, Abreu, Carpenter are all there, and I'm very happy to just take which one of the three falls the furthest. I think they're all good values right now, but I'll take Abreu because he's going 20 picks later.
Okay.
I'll go Votto. I don't think there's any way Jose Abreu, even in this, in, you know, at a discount in the sixth or seventh round, wins you a fantasy league. I think the best case scenario is that he's a pretty good first baseman. I think it's more true in Roto.
That he's good in Roto?
Well, I think in Roto, there's less of a chance that he turns out to be this, like, really, really good value. I think he can be a pretty good value, but I don't think there's any outcome where Jose Abreu is a first round value. And Joey Votto obviously was that as recently as the season before last.
I was actually going to say just the opposite. I feel like Jose Abreu is the one I like to wait for in a Roto league, because I feel like his value is pretty disproportionate between the two formats, since, you know, batting average is a big part of what makes him good when he is good. Well, meanwhile, you know, a lot of those other first basemen walk a lot.
Yeah, actually, it's an interesting comparison, Votto and Abreu, because Votto is much safer in points leagues. Last year, he was like 12th in points and like 20th in Roto, and Abreu is better in Roto. You know, these guys are really interesting because Abreu, Scott and I have talked about it, I think, a lot, and I guess maybe we all have. Like, we love his value in the 70s, and if you miss out on all the good first baseman, all the great first baseman, he's a great fallback option. But he has been, in two of the last 3 years, probably not worth the 70th pick, especially last year. 2016.
Two of the last three?
Yeah, 2016 he was the number 11 in points, number 15 in Roto. He only scored 67 runs. He only hit 25 home runs. But
yeah,
it's two of the last three
years.
That
was a year he had a really slow start, I feel like. So, I mean, maybe it's not fair to just excuse it, but
But he's also 32.
Yeah.
Yeah, Votto's 35.
Yeah, but like...
Like, it's possible last year was the big start of a decline for Abreu. I don't see it looking at the batted ball profile. It looks...
Yeah, are we talking about Votto or Abreu now?
Well, but...
I'm talking about Abreu.
Well, his hard hit rate fell from 40.5 to 37.9, and that was in a league context where hard hit rate was up like 4 points, I think. So... We do have to keep that in mind. His infield fly ball rate, pop-up rate, went way up.
Higher.
It doubled.
Yeah, that's
so.
Like he replaced some home runs with pop-ups. That's the main thing I see.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Also, he had testicular torsion. Just wanted to make sure I mentioned that. Last big question. Scott, I'm going to give this one to you. I'm going to give you 30 seconds to answer it. Which prospects are worth drafting?
Got a blanking here. So obviously Vladimir Guerrero, Eloy Jimenez, those are the highest two. Nick Senzel, Pete Alonso. They might make the opening day roster, but if they don't, they'll be up soon afterward. Sounds like Chris Paddock's going to make the rotation for the Padres from the get go, and Jesus Luzardo of the Athletics might as well, so I think they're all worth drafting. If you go in a little deeper format, Fernando Tatis, I think, is somebody you're stashing with the hope of a midseason call-up. And Austin Hayes in a five outfielder league, I think, joins that group. Anybody I'm missing, guys? I mean, Forrest Whitley could contribute at some point.
Kyle Wright?
It's hard to know when. Kyle Wright, yeah, it sounds like he'll be in the Braves rotation to begin with. I don't think his upside is so apparent that he's like must draft at this point, but I mean, he could certainly be a much bigger contributor than
what about Garrett Hampson
being drafted as today.
I don't Garrett think Hampson. He's a prospect. Like Victor Robles Hampson? Is still technically a prospect.
Oh yeah. Yeah. He already has a job. Basically.
Francisco Mejia is still technically a prospect. I could see Keston Hira. I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Hira.
Second baseman for the Brewers, who had a really nice season last year and has been one of their best hitters in the spring. I could see him getting a chance if the Mike Moustakas at second base experiment goes wrong. Like, I could see if either Moustakas or Shaw gets off to a bad start and the defense is really bad, I could see them kind of moving away from that because they do have a very good second base prospect, you know, who looks pretty close to major league ready.
All right, we got to read some questions about categories, leagues, do some late round picks, overdrafted and underdrafted. And I just started a Twitter poll. Say them out loud and tell me, do frog and dog rhyme? You see the way I said it, they don't. Like, they don't rhyme.
So, yeah, the way this you is gonna, say it, because you say frog.
This is going to go the way your Hotel California versus International Players anthem poll went, where you got like 20% of the vote and you were so sure you were right.
Yeah, I am right. That is
it's
the
like,
stupidest.
It's like the Avengers quote.
What's the stupid Avengers quote that you're going to say about this stupid?
It's like, I know what it's like to feel you're right so desperately and still lose. That's you, Adam, on all of your opinions.
What is the International Players Anthem? Is that what it's called?
Can we just move on? Because I've seen something in the notes that made me so angry that I want to yell at you about it. So I want to get to that.
16 votes all are yes so far. Frog and dog do rhyme. I don't. This is just not true. All right, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, let's find out what Heath is mad about regarding my notes. We'll be right back on Fantasy Baseball Today.
Everybody knows it. Toyota trucks are the stuff of legends. Rugged, durable, everlasting, Toyota makes trucks that just don't quit. And now Toyota is driving that legacy toward the future with two of their most powerful trucks ever, the new Tundra and the all-new Tacoma.
In a half-ton Tundra, you can rule the roads from the comfort of a spacious cabin with connected tech and plenty of hauling power. The Tundra is ready to work hard and play even harder.
Or check out the all-new 24 Tacoma, redesigned and electrified to maximize your adventure. With a bevy of available off-road driving and power transfer modes, you will effortlessly crush the conditions. And with the Tacoma's reimagined interior, you'll do it in style.
And right now, your local Toyota dealer has more vehicles in stock and is making delivery on new vehicles almost every day.
So don't wait. Buy a Tundra or Tacoma today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more.
Toyota, let's go places.
Okay, Heath, what did I do?
Well, I thought we'd get to it at some point. You want to do overdraft and underdrafted players at some point, right?
Yeah, I think in about 10 minutes we need to do that. Okay, so
I'll yell then.
Okay, let's do these two questions about categories leagues. And sorry, I forgot the name on this email. Guys, you've discussed and completed a mock draft for head-to-head categories. It sounds like you were doing a weekly lineups league. What if the league were set up as daily lineups? Would you still continue with the same pitching strategy, top aces, and relief-heavy pitching?
Oh, I think it's even more valuable in daily lineups because not only can you cycle through those guys in your lineup, but you can start adding middle relievers. And then if you get to the end of the week, say Friday, and you're really low on wins or strikeouts, but you have a really big lead in ERA, then you can just start adding guys who are going to start on Saturday and Sunday and just try to make up those raw stats. I think there's a lot more you can do in daily lineups.
The one thing to watch with daily lineup leagues is what are your restrictions? Do you have to have a certain number of inning pitch? Do you have a max number of starts for your starting pitchers?
Or a minimum.
Either one. And those, I like the leagues that don't have any rules as far as that goes. But if your league has a rule on that, that's the one what place it could definitely change.
And I hate daily lineup leagues.
Oh, no, I like daily lineup leagues. I've definitely come around.
It's way too much work.
Chris doesn't even like setting his lineup once a week, much less every day.
I don't want to turn fantasy baseball into a chore. Come on.
I like having one of those.
It's 190-day season, I think. Yeah. That's a long time. That's a really big investment.
What inevitably happens when I play in a daily lineup league is I just set each day individually on Monday still. Like, I set it once a week, but I go through, you know, looking days ahead to make sure nobody has off days, which means, you know, I'm missing, like, injuries that pop up and stuff. But that's the price I'm willing to pay to feel like I'm still living my life.
Sure, I get it. I probably play the fewest leagues of the four of us. I play in six leagues, and I have two daily lineup leagues, and that's fine for me. But if I were only going to do one baseball league, it would be daily lineups. But I understand you don't want too many of them. Next one here is from Christian in California. Your podcast helped me draft a very solid team. I feel like I have a balanced roster despite some questionable closer options. But is this a problem? I don't see my categories team stacked in any particular category. I feel like it could be bested by a strong home run or RBI or strikeout team. Should head-to-head categories players aim to have an edge in particular categories or shoot for balance throughout their rosters?
Depends on the scoring format, right? Like, if you do one win and one loss every week, then I think you probably, well, I don't know. I guess you want to stack your side heavily on five or six categories or four in a league where you get one win per week. Because it doesn't matter if you win 6-4 every week. That still counts as a win, where if you win 6-4 every week in a league where you get 10
Let me break it. So,
I'm enjoying this. This entire segment has been fantastic.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, terrible. Okay, so
if you have 10 wins and losses every week, a 6-4 win every week, you're not necessarily going to be in a great place.
Oh, yes, you will. You definitely.
Yeah, you're going to be in the playoffs.
Well, but you're not going to win. But you're not going to win 6-4 every week.
Okay, right. This is terrible.
That's the thing. Like you're kind of like
if you're punting. No, if you're punting multiple categories. And if you know you're going to lose three per week and you have a bad week in ERA and WHIP, then you're going to lose. You're pretty guaranteed to lose.
Yes.
And so that's where it comes in.
I aim for balance just because I want to make sure that I, like Chris is saying, you can't be sure that you're going to win what you think you're going to win all the time. And if you give yourself that narrow of a path to victory, I don't think it's going to work out well for you in the end. Plus, you need to be able to work your way out of a trouble that develops during the season that maybe you didn't account for in the draft. And if you only have one path to doing that.
You know, Heath, you say something. You find it so funny that everybody else is having trouble explaining the intricacies of various formats. You say something. You put yourself on the line.
I'm perfectly fine punting one category, maybe even two. I think this is the one format where you can just, if you want to forget about steals, you can build a team that's awesome in power and batting average and be in great shape. If you want to forget about saves, or on the other hand, if you want to not worry so much about starting pitching, that's generally the strategy I go with, is try to build an elite offense, maybe get one ace, definitely get some upside starters, and then build the best bullpen in the league. So I don't necessarily build for balance, but I don't think that means you're in a bad spot if you do.
And once you get past 5x5, 6x6, if you get to 6x6, and if you get to 7x7, you can and maybe even should punt steals, because you can definitely afford to lose a category every week. It just won't make that much of a difference. All right, let's do real quick some late round picks that you guys. I haven't done enough drafts, so I know we have a mock draft today, and I think tomorrow, but there one of them at least is on the shallower format. I haven't done enough drafts, unfortunately, but maybe you guys can tell me. I just looked at ADP like 300 and beyond for some guys that I like, but I keep ending up with Jorge Soler, Lewis Brinson. I'm not saying these are good things, but late after 300, Jorge Soler, Lewis Brinson. I like Brandon Belt. He was very good before his appendectomy, and then after coming off the DL, he had a 572 OPS. It sunk his numbers, but Belt is not dead, and he goes like 350th. He could be certainly suitable.
Can they just trade him?
Well, either
Carroll
way.
Carroll Park and concussion concern.
Like, it's such a bad park for left-handed hitters that I think he would be probably a top 10 first baseman if he played in a neutral park, but that park just... It kills power for left-handed hitters so much that
it doesn't matter.
It's hard for him to do.
He's still good at 350th overall, sure. is what
Especially
I'm saying.
Especially in a points league.
And, yes. And
in a points league, you're not going 350 deep, though. Like if we're setting 300 as the range, we're pretty much taking like a 12-team head-to-head out of it, because that's 252 players are drafted in the standard head-to-head format, so we're getting pretty well beyond that, which isn't to say Belt couldn't contribute at some point in the season, just that you don't have any incentive to aim for him in
right.
a draft.
Well, I'm sorry I brought him up. This was obviously a huge mistake. Some pitchers...
No, I just want to put the format into context here. So,
how would Brandon Belt change your strategy in a head-to-head categories league with daily lineups? Where it's a 6x6.
Right, so if you win... If you're just getting like one win per week and you go 6-4.
Adam, you can't shame anyone after your dog frog thing.
I guess the way you say it, they do sort of rhyme. But the way I say it, they certainly don't. Okay, Tuki Toussaint, Zach Eflin, Luke Weaver were three pitchers that really stood out as late round picks that we'll be drafting. Who else, guys? Who else? Go for it and give me, make it snappy.
Yeah, I like all those guys. I like Michael Pineda.
Sure. Luke Weaver.
Luke Weaver. He already said, I think.
Matt Strom.
There you go.
Matt Strom definitely fits. I draft Steven Souza so much, and I understand the risks there with him, but he's 342 over the last 5 days in ADP. He's free.
Tyler O'Neill, Ryan Zimmerman, actually, I think we've kind of cast him off as dead again, even though he was really good in 2017 and really good after he came back from his injury last year. So I'm not giving up on him. I've drafted him as a bench bat multiple times.
Okay. And Ryan McMahon is not in the is inside the top 300 lately, but you still might be able to get him really late. Scott, was there anyone you wanted to add?
I'm just trying to see if they make the cut. Jeff McNeil has actually moved inside the top 300 barely, but he is somebody I'm drafting a lot in my 15-team roto leagues. Brandon Lau is basically free, and among a big mass of players competing for playing time in Tampa Bay, both between the outfield and first base and DH, he's been the best this spring by far. I don't understand why he doesn't get hyped more. His offensive potential seems very high. So he's also somebody I've been drafting in those deeper leagues. Ryan McMahon, I mean, he should not be outside the top 300. And I think over the last week, he's just barely inside it, but that's still not high enough. Ryan McMahon.
Yeah, he's 294 over the last week on NFBC.
Yeah. Yeah. And overall, he's like 350. So that's, you need to draft him much higher than that.
This guy's going 273 overall. Did anybody say Hunter Strickland? Because how is he not the Mariners closer? When you get to the point where we're guessing who closers are, like Strickland probably is. He's the 35th reliever off the board.
Yeah, the appeal to him is you're not guessing. He is the closer. And I think, well, an interesting thing about him is if you are counting the series in Japan, those two teams play 6 games in week 1, while the most any other team plays is 4. I mean, that alone makes Strickland must start.
Okay. Good stuff, guys. Overdrafted and underdrafted players. Real quick, some team name Tuesday. Pokemon Kata.
Very good.
Javier Biased. Biased?
Yeah.
Yeah. Aren't you glad you used Dahl? Apparently an old Dial commercial. Aren't you glad you used Dial?
Mm-hmm.
What's our Victor? Victor Mesa. What's our Victor?
Very good.
Yeah. The Bieber Fam Club. One of our... one of our listeners drafted Snell, Darvish, and Bader, and he did Snell you Bader.
Yep.
That's good. And then there's Hand You Ioannis, which is, you know.
This is a family program, Adam.
Yeah.
Vodoman Empire. Vodoman Empire.
An oldie but a goodie.
Very good, yeah. The Bower Rangers.
Very good.
And the Guriel with the dragon tattoo.
Excellent.
It's a good round.
Those are solid. Yeah.
Good round of team.
Solid crop.
So let's get to it. Overdrafted players. What did I do, Heath?
You've got a list here of overdrafted players. And the first 4 names are names that we've all talked about and agreed upon. They're being drafted too high. There could be some debate about Ronald Acuna and what his upside is, or Javier Baez and whether last year was real. You can talk about Gleyber Torres and Andujar, the Yankees. Why in the world is Mitch Haniger on this list as an overdrafted player at 85th overall when he finished 33rd overall in rotisserie leagues last year, and it was essentially the same guy he was the year before?
Okay, yeah. So first of all, I did compile a little bit of a list, and it had been the guys that we had talked about a lot. Acuna, 9th overall. We think he's more of a mid to late second round pick. Javier Baez, 19th overall. We're thinking 3rd or 4th round. Gleyber Torres, 58th overall. Andujar, 81st overall. Those were sort of ones that we had established overdrafted. Haniger is boring to me, and he goes ahead of Puig, Dahl, and Conforto. And those are like these 3 outfielders that we seem to love their upside. I don't think Haniger has nearly that upside. So that's why I think Haniger...
Does he not have nearly Conforto's upside? I can understand the other two. But
I could see Conforto hitting 35 homers. I don't think I could see Mitch Haniger doing that.
I don't know. He's had exactly the same home run to fly ball rate the last 2 years at 15.8%, and maybe that's just what it will always be. But a lot of what comes from upside is just guys having a semi-fortunate year in terms of something like that or BABIP. And I don't know why he couldn't have 1 year with a 20% home run to fly ball ratio.
He could, but I think Conforto's baseline level could be around that. I think the raw power for Conforto is better.
Haniger has a ballpark problem. He's had about an 800 OPS at home two straight years.
It's the same ballpark he's played in the last 2 years, when he was a number 33 player in fantasy last year.
Okay, because he played a full season, and he was good. He was very good, but he wasn't, you know, I don't think
right,
he was
I'm not saying you should draft him at 33rd.
I think the three guys that I mentioned that go after him still.
So they should be underdrafted.
They are. Or they're appropriately drafted, and Haniger's overdrafted. That's how I see it. I think Haniger should be more like 110th overall, personally.
Well, if you think all those guys have more upside than what Haniger did last year, you think all those guys have second to third round upside to be top 25 players in fantasy.
Yeah, I think.
Then they're not appropriately drafted around pick 100.
They're always going to finish ahead of closers, right? But it's position scarcity. They're going to finish ahead of catchers in all likelihood. Well, Real Muto and Sanchez. Like, guys get injured. It's not a perfect translation where a guy finished and where he should be drafted. Like, Haniger played.
I understand. I'm not saying take him at 33rd.
Yeah. Okay. So what do you guys think other than Heath? Haniger 85th overall. Is he overdrafted?
I think it's fine. I never take him. I don't think I have a single Mitch Haniger share this.
That's because I take him at like 65th.
Yeah, but I'm just not super excited about him.
Exactly.
It's not that he's bad. Yeah.
Boring.
He's kind of
right. I kind of get what you're saying, yeah. Adam. Like, I'd rather wait for that next wave than settle for Haniger. But I don't think it's overdrafted necessarily.
Right. Okay.
Although you did mention Yasiel Puig. He's going quite a bit higher than Haniger, isn't he?
If he is, then that's my bad. I'm sorry. I didn't think.
Yeah, because I think at least on FBC, it's 62nd over the last.
Oh, okay. Well, on Fantasy Pros, he's going actually three picks after Haniger.
On Yahoo, he's going three picks before Haniger.
Oh, and I'll tell you another guy who. Okay, then forget about Puig.
And FBC, he's going by far the highest. Puig.
Yeah. So 62nd overall.
Let me give you the three outfielders, the updated three outfielders. AJ Pollock, David Dahl, and Michael Conforto, I would rather have over Haniger. And they're all.
I would rather have. Yeah, I think those guys all have more. At least Pollock and Dahl have more five category potential than Haniger does.
All right, you guys take it over. Who else is overdrafted?
I'm just using Yahoo ADP, and I've got four or five names here. Some of them were the same. So Christian Yelich is going eighth overall on Yahoo drafts, and I don't think that's too far from some other sites. I've gotten to the point now where I'd rather have Aaron Judge. I'd definitely rather have some of those infielders. There's going to be a big drop in his power numbers, likely a significant drop in his batting average, and I think he's better served as a second-round pick, maybe even a late second. Edwin Diaz is going 52nd overall on Yahoo. It's not just because closers go really early. He's going a round and a half, two rounds ahead of the next group of closers. I expect him to be very good. I don't expect him to be the number one closer, and I'm not paying a premium for him over the other closers. I had Gleyber Torres and Miguel Andujar on that list. Mike Foltynewicz still has an ADP of 120 overall. We've looked at some of the last 3 days stuff. A lot of times he's going 150, 160. I don't think he should go in the top 200. Then again, I didn't think he should go in the top 150 before he was hurt. And Jay Happ is going 137th overall on Yahoo. I think his NFBC ADP is around 200. He's fine, I guess, for a late round starting pitcher. I don't think he's going to be a top 25 option, though.
Happ has weirdly moved up a lot as draft season has gone on. I don't think we learned anything new about him over the last month, but he's up to 141st over the last week on NFBC. And that's what I'm looking at. Like, I'm looking at the last week for NFBC to try to get some of the latest trends. So I've got three overdrafted and three underdrafted. Christian Yelich at sixth overall, just like Heath said. I don't think he's worth the first half of the first round pick. There's, like Heath said, just tons of regression coming, even though he will be good. Xander Bogaerts is 45th, which that seems way too rich. Mm-hmm. In a world where you could get, you know, Gene Segura probably three or four rounds later. I don't see the point in that. And then Jameson Taillon is 53rd. And, like, I was the biggest Jameson Taillon fan this time a year ago, but a borderline top 50 pick for that guy? I think he's good. But That's border. That's Steve. He's going ahead of Steven Strasburg over the last week on FBC. That's wild.
That's another case where NFBC is the outlier among the ADP sources. Yep. On all the other sites, he goes more like 70th, Tyone.
And then three being underdrafted. I get the concerns with Bryce Harper not playing much in the spring, signing late, now has this ankle foot thing, although he's playing through it. He's been really bad in the spring, but he's 18th overall. And we know this guy has number one overall potential. He's basically played at that level two of the last 4 years. You're not going to get that kind of upside from someone who's done it before in the late mid to late second round. So I think he's a great value there. Clayton Kershaw at 60th, given that the injury concerns are not entirely behind him, but he should be in the rotation within the first couple of turns. I think 60th is great value for him. And this is one that I've just disagreed with everybody on this podcast all spring long. Ken Giles is 149th. I think that's way too low. He might just have a mental block that makes it so that he just will have these meltdowns forever. But every single one of his peripherals, pretty much every year, I think there might have been one bad peripheral season, has suggested that he is one of the best closers in baseball. That was the case last year. The peripherals were, for the most part, very good. I mean, 308 FIP.
That's good. And his strikeouts went down last year. It was weird, kind of, his walks.
Sure, but Roberto Ozuna's strikeouts went down last year, and we're still drafting him as an elite closer.
That's true.
Ozuna does pitch for a better team, but
yeah,
we have seen a super elite Ken Giles before, and nobody's drafting him as if that's possible.
Well, I'm not drafting him to be super elite because he's not on a super elite team anymore, but I actually would disagree that you've been on Giles Island, because I have also been very high on Giles, because for whatever, he gave up, I think he had a 0.35 ERA in save situations. He had 26.
Don't know if that matters.
Well, I think it might. I mean, I think there's a mental aspect here with Ken Giles, and just use him properly, make him the closer, you know, put him in save situations, and he is the closer for them. So, and that goes a long way in 2019. So I would agree with that. And let me just get back to Harper. I know, Scott, you gotta get in here as well. But is Harper going ahead of Charlie Blackmon?
I can check that.
Yeah. I think the answer is yes, but I would
know. Blackman's 27th on NFBC.
So Harper's going ahead of him.
Yeah, which is ridiculous. Charlie Blackmon, 27th overall. Thank your lucky stars if you get him there. That is absurd value.
Yeah, I would base my, if I knew I could get him in the third round, I would base my entire draft strategy on taking Charlie Blackmon in the third round. And then I wanted to, a few weeks ago, I was Harper over Yelich. And Heath, you said you'd take Judge over Yelich. Scott, let me get you in there.
And Harper.
Oh, you would take a, where would you take Yelich, Scott? Would you take Harper over him? Would you take Judge over him?
I would take Yelich the highest of those three, because I feel like, I mean, I give him more credit for power than I think Heath is. I'm going to set the over under on home runs at 29.5 this year. And, you know, the rest of his profile seems pretty safe.
Right.
So he's, yeah, I haven't had occasion to draft him yet. He always seems to go higher than I'm willing to look at him, but late first round, I think, is appropriate for Yelich.
Scott, give me some underdrafted and overdrafted players.
So I think the single most overdrafted player, and we touched on this when we were doing our mock draft live on Friday, is Ahmed Rosario, who is a full 50 picks earlier than I'm picking him, and goes ahead of Billy Hamilton. The reason that's important, the Hamilton note, is because I'm not sure what anybody's drafting Rosario for other than stolen bases, which Hamilton, I would expect to deliver twice as many.
There's batting average and home run upside with Rosario. Like, he's not a
Well, I wish he would show it. I wish he would show it. He did hit about 280 over the final 2 months last year, but it was with a very high BABIP, and it came at the expense of whatever little power he had, because he basically stopped elevating the ball to put together that 280 batting average. It doesn't get on base much at all. And really, most of the steals came when he was batting leadoff, which he clearly isn't going to do anymore. He's going to bat in the lower part of the lineup. So I'm not, I don't get the Ahmed Rosario hype in the least bit. He looks super scrubby to me and not somebody who I'm drafting in the middle rounds.
All right.
Who else? So other overdrafted players, I mean, Gleyber Torres is one we talk about a lot. Cody Bellinger, we talked about a lot yesterday. Guys who I just think not enough of the risk is factored in. Like, people are viewing them with rose-tinted glasses, seeing a best-case scenario for each of them, or at least close to it. Underdrafted players, I mean, a lot of these are my favorites. Zach Greinke, Jose Abreu, Scooter Gennett. I think Justin Turner, maybe we don't talk about him enough. Just how studly he is when he's in the lineup. And like, especially last year when he overcame the broken hamate bone in his hands, because when he first came off the DL, he wasn't hitting for power at all. And then the last 2 months, his numbers exploded. And he was like, I feel like he is as good as any third baseman on a per game basis, any of them. Like, even Nolan Arenado, if, when Turner's in the lineup, he is that productive in fantasy, and he tends to go in like round 8 or 9 on average. Mm-hmm. So somebody I like drafting a lot at third base. Robinson Cano, I'm not really sure why he gets downgraded so much. I guess just because he's old, but he has been very consistent in terms of playing over the last few years. The last time he didn't play 150 games in a season that wasn't because of the suspension last year was like 10 years ago or something stupid.
And I think that's partially the result of the suspension is why he's being underrated.
Yes.
But what we've seen, he's 36, so that's part of it, but he wasn't going 110th overall?
Around there, yeah.
Last year.
Right.
He's 1 year older, but he still hit last year. He was still very good.
I don't worry about, like, whatever he was taking was causing him to produce at a level that he can't sustain. But he's 36 years old and was able to play in 150 games every single year, probably because of whatever he was taking.
Sure, but you tend to gain – players tend to keep those gains.
I think they keep the performance gains. I don't know that you're going to keep the health benefits.
I don't know
what he was taking – for how long he was taking anything, first of all.
Sure. From what I understand – you tend, once you stop taking them, you do still tend to keep those gains. Maybe he won't be able to stay healthy, but at 110th overall, given the potential that he has and how well he's produced over the last few years.
I mean, he's kind of an accumulator now.
He doesn't have that much potential. Exactly. He is an accumulator.
It's 20 to 25 homers, 70 to 80 runs. You're going to hit 280. Maybe two.
His run and RBI totals with the Mariners were very high. I mean, like 80 plus every year.
He's hit 298, 280, and 303 over the last three seasons, too.
So 290.
Yeah.
Okay. So
definite batting average help. I think definite run help.
I'm just looking at the ATC projection. It's 285, mm-hmm. 21 homers, 78 runs, 85 RBI. That seems pretty reasonable.
Okay, so this is Robinson Cano we're talking about.
But he is a dinosaur, so.
Let me read, and he's usually better in points leagues. He does not strike out a lot. Let me read an email here. It's an interesting email, kind of piggybacking on this conversation. It is from JD from a large town in Colorado with all the microbreweries Heath could dream of.
Hey, wow.
Yeah.
Boulder?
Sure. Hmm. I know you guys are not exactly fond of second base this year, but I feel like there's tons of value in the mid rounds. Daniel Murphy, he's kind of inching toward the early rounds. Scooter Gennett, Robinson Cano, Travis Shaw, Mike Moustakas. I've been really targeting Gennett in my mocks, but I'm wondering, why take Gennett when I can get Cano 2 or 3 rounds later?
That's exactly what I was going to say. And I would expect them to produce about the same. Maybe Gennett's a little safer, but yeah. Cano might have more upside.
I won't be the guy arguing for taking Scooter Gennett, although I don't think I gave any underdrafted players.
Oh, well, we have a few minutes left.
I thought we were all doing overdrafted, and then we were all doing underdrafted, and I did all my overdrafted, and then never came back to me.
Fire away with a few names.
Speaking of second baseman, yeah, Travis Shaw, 113th overall. Adalberto Mondesi, Scott, you need to get in some Yahoo leagues. Mondesi going 68th overall.
Why are you fixated on the Yahoo ADP? I understand NFBC because you can make it more recent.
Because it's
Fantasy
we're catering to a large audience.
We have a lot of.
You mentioned CBS ADP once? Like,
no, there's a reason for this. The reason is
we discuss CBS ADP too, don't we?
Heath is prepping for an article that he's writing. So,
I also do think there's value in
there is
finding places that you can get either value or know where to avoid guys in different leagues, because the default rankings, the default projections are going to be different no matter where you play, and obviously you should play on CBS Sports Commissioner product. It's the only.
But sometimes he's been citing Yahoo ADP in cases where it's normal too. So. It's not that big of a deal.
Wow, it's really bothering you. Heath, you should play in some Yahoo League.
Heath, do you have a job offer that we need to know about? Go ahead.
Well, it's not like a street gang that we have to fight them.
All right, we got 2 minutes left.
20th overall?
We got 2 minutes left. Who you got? Who's 120th?
Michael Brantley. Okay. Wilson Ramos is the last catcher going at 155, the last good catcher. And then Shane Bieber at 157.
Okay. It's basically all of Heath's sleepers.
About 40 picks later.
Thank you very much, everybody, for listening. Tomorrow, I want to talk about Madison Bumgarner. Why don't you tell me real quick where Bumgarner's going, and then we're going to talk about it tomorrow. Where's Bumgarner going?
105, I think.
Yeah, you're sure on Yahoo, of course. Why not? Thank you for listening to the Yahoo 88. CBS Fantasy Baseball Today. 88th. Okay. All right, so we'll talk about Bumgarner tomorrow. We'll talk about some other stuff tomorrow. Talk about our head-to-head points mock draft that we're doing today. That's coming up on tomorrow's show. For Scott, for Creed. For Scott and for Creed. I'm Adam. See you later, everybody. We'll talk to you on Wednesday.